All right, next on Live Free and Ham, have you ever been asked to accept ICOM as your Lord and Savior? Well, then let me tell you about Ham Radio. Hello, and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show, during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we're excited to have you here, and we appreciate your support. And thanks again for tuning in to our episode. So let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-hosts.
Paul, N1OG.
And Todd, W1STJ.
All right, cool. All right, well, before we kind of get into our topic, we're going to talk a little, catch you up on a few things. As always, our storefront is up on livefreeandham.com/shop. And we are constantly always working on creating more merch. So if you haven't been over there, please head over and check that stuff out. I want to just send out a special thanks to Matt, N3VAN, for picking up Live Free and Ham camo hat, which Paul is sporting as always. Appreciate that. And as again, we all thank everybody in the past who have supported the show and appreciate all of that. And next, coming up in May, we hope you haven't already subscribed. And if you haven't, make sure you hit that notification bell. We're going to be doing our monthly live stream. This month, we're going to having Carlos from Life at Terminal Velocity on. And, you know, sometimes he's known as the skydiving ham. So we're all excited about that. And hopefully you'll tune into that as well. And again, outside of that, let's kind of dive into our usual segments here. Let's cue up the band here.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
You heard it here before. This is where we help Todd study for his extra class license. In each episode, we always pick three questions from the extra class question pool to test his knowledge and hoping he gets closer to getting his upgrade. Fingers crossed. Well, if you'd like to follow along, you know, you can always head over to hamstudy.org. It's a great resource to help you prepare for your test and is always recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteer examiners. Again, the ADA was unavailable for comment at the time of survey. And so without any further delay or future delay or further delay, you pick. I'll hand it over to our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, Paul.
All right, Todd. So we're still on sub-element 4 of the extra exam. And I just want to point out that it's already May, so you're running out of time.
No pressure.
Thanks. Yeah, no pressure.
All right.
Well, I haven't reviewed 4 in a while. I've been working on 6, but we'll do this. See how good I remember. It'll be a good test.
Well, your first question is: what is reciprocal mixing? Is it A, 2 out of band signals mixing to generate an in band spurious signal? B, in phase signals canceling in a mixer, resulting in loss of receiver sensitivity? C, 2 digital signals combining from alternate time slots? Or is it D, local oscillator phase noise mixing with adjacent strong signals to create interference to desired signals?
Ooh, he paused there, folks. He paused there.
Oh, no, I'm right. I didn't know if you could hear me when the music.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say D.
D is correct.
All right.
Great job.
Question number 2. Which of the following is used to reduce or eliminate intermodulation interference in a repeater caused by a nearby transmitter? Is it A, properly terminated circulator at the output of the repeater's transmitter? B, utilizing a Class C final amplifier? C, utilizing a Class D final amplifier? Or is it D, a bandpass filter in the feed line between the transmitter and the receiver?
And just remember, Class D is always better than Class C, just by one letter.
All right. I'm going to go with A.
Woohoo! Nice job.
All right. This is stuff, this studying really works. It sticks in my head.
It's amazing. You should probably tell this to your child, too, as well. The studying really works.
Studying works.
I feel like an old computer, like pulling up, like, okay, that was, you know.
Would that be a Commodore 64 or an Apple II?
Yeah, it's probably like the Apple One, right? All right, let's see what this one
is. All right, for the final question of the day, what is the purpose of a single point ground panel? Is it A, to eliminate air gaps between protected and non-protected circuits? B, to ensure all lightning protectors activate at the same time? C, to remove AC power in case of a short circuit? Or is it D, to prevent common mode transients in multi-wire systems?
Ooh. I'm going to say D.
Oh, so close.
C. Oh!
Man.
And it is B. Ensure that all lightning protectors activate at the same time.
You can always remember what that lady that sings, Holy Spirit, activate, and lightning protectors activate.
All right, I'll remember that. I'll forget that. Oh, I hate that song.
Oh, man, there you have it. All right. Cool. All right. We got
studying to do.
A little studying there. All right, well, you know, so if you're on the journey to studying for your technician general or extra class license like Todd is, hamstudy.org is always an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And, you know, if you've recently maybe upgraded your license or you just got your technician, you know, we want to know, and we'd love to recognize you on the next episode for your hard work and effort. So, you know, please email us over at livefreeandham@gmail.com and we'll make sure we mention you on the next show. And, you know, we're just going to continue to keep plugging away with Todd here and help him get his extra too as well. So cool. All right. Well, with that, we usually dovetail right into our usual ham radio week. So, you know, let me toss it over to you, Paul. How's your ham radio week been? I know it's been busy, if anything like mine, but, you know, let us know.
Well, actually, to be honest, my week this week has been relatively calm and not a lot of ham radio activities. I came home and Monday night about 10:30 from my Florida vacation. It was fantastic driving down and coming back. Got to activate a few parks. But yeah, this week's been pretty low key. Looking forward to kind of getting back into the swing of things now that you know, I'm home and we're getting settled after vacation.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's always the toughest thing, isn't it?
It's like going on vacation, going and coming home is more work than the actual vacation.
Mm-hmm. You need the vacation from your vacation, as they say.
Yes.
So any famous, you know, good radio play at all? Anything highlights at all? Or just it was good in general for you radio-wise?
Well, I mean, it's hard to top the parks, but I think one of the coolest things was we were on the fifth floor balcony, and the ocean was directly below us. And so I tied my arborist bag onto the end of the Reliance EnFed half wave, and I literally tossed it into the ocean. And so I had the feed line, gear tied to the balcony, and the antenna was way out at a 45 degree angle into the ocean. And, wow. Yeah, made a few contacts that way real quick and it was fun.
Man, that's impressive. I'm Very happy that you got a chance to do that. I know I did the same thing when I went to Myrtle Beach and got a chance to just toss something right off the balcony and make it happen. Although you had a couple of floors above me, I was really at ocean level. So, you know, it made it a little easier to toss it out. But yeah, definitely. That sounds like a really cool. So looking to hear more on that one. All right. Well, outside of that, Todd, how has your ham radio week been?
Well, I haven't tossed an antenna out my window, but I did toss a fishing line out my window when I was in my younger years, when I was in at a timeshare on Marco Island, and they had a pond right below our thing, and I was able to catch a fish, reel it up like 15 flights or however high the thing was. Not sure if it was legal, but it bit, and I caught, and I reeled it up.
Wow.
Yeah, ham radio this week, not too much going on. I've been kind of busy at work. A lot of trainings and just the weather's been kind of crappy. And then when it was good, I was busy at work. So we had a couple of nice days. I wish I was able to get out. And but I have noticed that the bands have been pretty, at least during the day, haven't really been too hot. A couple of weeks ago, I went over to Silver Lake, and yeah, that was not fun because I think I was there for 2 hours, maybe. I got like 13 contacts. Couldn't get any on 20. Got a bunch on 15, and then I had to finish it off on 10, only because 20 was just dead. And it was like mid-afternoon, you know, lunchtime. So, yeah, so that's basically it. I haven't done much, but I am taking a bunch of time off. I've got a lot of time at work, and I talked to my boss, and they're allowing me to have a lot of time off. So I'm going to be taking probably close to 2 months in the summer to play some ham radio, put up my antennas, do some RC flying, work some parks, and do some stuff around the house and just kind of relax.
Nice.
Kind of regenerate because I'm pretty tired. I mean, these overnights have just been killing me. And I just got assigned another 3 months of Thursdays and Saturdays, even though I'm looking for Fridays.
Wow.
So I did get people, though, to cover for me, so that'll be good. So when I come back, I'll be able to just pick those up again if I choose to. So cool. Looking forward to a good summer relaxing. And I got a couple of vacations, last-minute vacation. Diane, my wife's family, we're meeting down in North Carolina the end of June. End of August, we're going to be down at the Cape. And then I just kind of was like, you know what, I haven't been to St. John in a while. And my timeshare was due to pay, and I just booked it. And we're going to go the week before Thanksgiving. So I'm excited for that one because that's a big park. It's 3/4 of the island's the national park. So I'm going to be doing a lot of ham radio down there for a week. So that'll be fun.
Very cool.
And that'll be a good one for you guys to get because there's not too many activations down there.
We obviously have you on ham alert, but we'll be listening with bated breath, as they say, and yeah, we'll be looking forward to making those contacts. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, with me, I have to say I'm probably in the same boat as all you guys. I really played not a whole lot of ham radio. I think this week or past week, we ended up having a couple things. The shift in our usual spring Nearfest occurred, and we ended, instead of having the usual weekends that we usually do, they ended up having a Thursday and Friday. I went to that, did some videos on my channel on that, and got to meet a really cool guy out of Vermont. K-I-1-P, I think his name is, and I'm forgetting his name at the moment. My gosh. Chris. He took a converted news van. If you haven't seen the video on my channel, go check it out. But he converted a news van to a full HF setup. This thing, I have to say, you know, it's an HOA owner's dream. I would love to have this thing parked in my driveway. One, just to piss off the HOA because it's got the 40-foot collapsible towers and those things stick out like a sore thumb. And he had coverage from every band except for microwave, I think, in that thing. And he had a couple of flexes, full fridge, microwave, sleeping quarters. I mean, he decked that out in the best way possible. And some of his stuff on his channel, he literally, he goes out and just plops himself on the sides of mountains and plays contesting. He's a big contest guy. So it was fun hanging out with him and learning more about what he did. But I got a chance to hang out with Matt too, N3VAN up at Nearfest too, and just chit chat and he's doing really well. So it was good to see all the antenna spread that he had and some of the new stuff, you know, that he's adding to his antenna selection there. So, yeah, kind of just more stuff related to antennas and stuff. But I, you know, I didn't really play much radio, although I got to handle radio, I should say, is the best way to say it. So with that, you know, it kind of dovetails into, you know, where we are with this week. So we kind of been tossing around this idea for a while. I kind of wanted to share, yeah, as I said, you know, if you haven't met your Lord and Savior, the great ICOM, then, you know, maybe we can tell you a little bit about how to share ham radio with those that are around you. I mean, we've all, you know, kind of been in some very different scenarios, you know, whether we've done POTA or we've been in, you know, meeting just people in a public forum, or, you know, we've gone to do some community event and we've all been asked at some level or another, you know, what is this thing called ham radio? And so, you know, let's kind of set the stage here a little bit. And I was just kind of thinking this through. And so say the scenario kind of plays out this way, you know, you're in the middle of a POTA activation, or, you know, maybe you're talking on your HT in a community, you know, environment. And, you know, someone comes up and says, you know, Hey, what's this thing you're doing here? And, you know, either, or they, you know, maybe they say, you know, if you're doing a POTA activation, you know, you doing bird migrations, and, you know, they kind of, you know, sarcastically, you know, joke about that. Or the funny one that happens all the time is like, where's your tinfoil hat? Are you listening for aliens? Yeah.
Talking to aliens.
And,
you know,
all of those kind of, yeah, an alien or looking like one, right? Exactly. Or, you know, or maybe the other side of the coin is you're with your significant other or family member, and they ask you why you do radio, and after you've told them and given them an answer, they give you a 10-4, good buddy, and, you know, kind of go from there. So, you know, and then my favorite one that I've always done I'm trying to learn from is that you have all this delivered, you know, speech of how you're going to tell everyone in the world about ham radio, and then you find when they walk away, you've literally recited the ARL antenna book to them verbatim. And lost them forever because they had no idea what the heck you just said. You might have been speaking another foreign language. So, you know, like I said, we all had at some level or another some way to kind of talk or share a little bit about ham radio to the public. And so, you know, it kind of begs the question, and we'll get into this a little bit. You know, what do you say? What do you share to these people? How do you give them, you know, a little bit of information that they can just, you know, take this and go away with something that, you know, might inspire them to maybe get in the hobby or learn more something about it. You know, between the three of us, I think, you know, we can definitely come up with some tips and tricks to be able to help every one of you guys that listen to this podcast and you know, stay attention to our YouTube channel, that, you know, you can be a better ambassador for ham radio. So guys, let's kind of start out with some stories. You know, I always like to hear, you know, some of your stories. So what are some of like the best, we'll do a best and a worst moment that you have to kind of dig on, that when you had the opportunity to share with somebody, you know, what was the best moment that you kind of came out of it? Any of those, you know, kind of moments of like, oh man, that was really cool to see, or you saw them, you know, later down the road path, you know, that, you know, after you talked to them about ham radio, they became a ham radio operator. And you guys got anything you want to share on the good side of that?
Well, I would, you can
all
go,
right,
Paul.
That's awesome.
We'll fight
over. Go.
So, best, I guess, most rewarding experience, rewarding for myself, as it were. I got to be at a VE session where brand new technicians got their license for the first time. And then, then they showed up for Winter Field Day, and I got to put them on the air on HF for the very first time, and to, you know, be able to take them from knowing nothing about radio, never having been on a radio before, to relatively like, hey, you're doing a fantastic job, and I could just kind of sit back and just watch the learning happen. It's fantastic.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was witness to that. So yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. How about you, Todd? What was your rewarding story, as Paul said?
Well, I guess my rewarding story was, I've talked to a lot of people about ham radio, but I guess the one that was kind of, when I got into ham radio, it kind of, my family was just kind of joking with me and, you know, making fun of me and like, why are you getting into this and what? You know, like you said, the 10-4, good buddy. So it started where my brother was here from California and I had to run the net. So he came and watched me run the net. And I was explaining to him, and he goes, "Oh, no, no, that's really cool. That's really cool." Now, granted, he's in radio. Like, his job is, like, producing radio shows. Mm. But he won't get into ham radio. So then, you know, my mom and, you know, they talk, and I hear him talking and making fun of me and that kind of stuff. So then Eric posted a video of us doing some POTA activation. I think it might have been the Rove. I think it was the Rove that we did. Yeah. And my mom went nuts, and she goes, "Oh my God, I didn't even understand what you were saying. All those people you were talking to, the code you were using." And I'm like, "Code? Like, what are you talking? Just doing a POTA activation and using the whatever we QSL. Say. And QSL, CQ, CQ POTA, CQ POTA, 5959. Park US, or back then it was K, but yeah, they were, and then she told my brother, and then my brother watched it, and he's like, "Wow," he goes, "that's pretty crazy." He goes, "You even got someone," he goes, "you were talking to Europe." I said, "Oh yeah, you can talk all around the world if you want." So it kind of was like rewarding that they actually saw me doing it, and right. It kind of put it like a real life thing into, like, I'm not just sitting here talking into a microphone for just shits and giggles. So they were, that was kind of nice to see that. So they don't make fun of me as much. But my dad did make fun of me when I couldn't get the stupid antenna up in the air. And he's like, he goes, "So how many hours are you going to do this to talk to people you don't know?"
As many as it takes till the sun comes down.
That antenna wire is going up. So, but you know, it was all good. You know, I'm someone that has always grown up where we're pretty competitive family, and a lot of my friends in college, especially, we give each other a lot of crap. So I'm used to it, and it's all in good fun. And I said, "Hey, it's your loss, my gain." But I really want to get my brother into it, and he's starting to, you know, he asks questions here. And like today, he sent me a picture of a Marine radio. He goes, "Hey, could you use this?" And it was just, you know, he took it out of his boat, and I'm like, "No, that's a Marine radio. It's got different frequencies." He goes, "Oh," he goes, "yeah, I took it out of my boat. I was going to give it to you if you could use it." I'm like, "Well, I could use it if I had a boat, but I don't. If you want to get me a boat, then I can use the radio."
No, it may come in handy.
Yeah. So, but I mean, at least he's thinking about it, right? And then he had told me one time there was a bunch of people out on Huntington Beach, on the beach, doing some kind of radio thing. I don't know if it was like I think it was on field day. They were doing a field day on the beach, like a club.
Hey, could have been ham radio crash course for all we know.
Yeah. Well, he was there, and he was, and I was at field day, and he's texting me. He goes, "Try to get these guys." I'm like, "All right, well, what frequency are they on?" He'd tell me, and then, like, you know, we could barely hear him because they're in California, but still he's thinking about it. So who knows? Maybe he'll, one day he'll really ask me, and he'll take the test, and we could get him on here. We should actually get him on here and try to talk to him about his radio and why he doesn't try to convert him into why he doesn't do ham radio when he has all this radio experience. That could be a good topic for the show.
Plan comes together.
I'm gonna be on that one for sure. All right, well, cool. So I can share, you know, obviously a little quick rewarding scenario for me. It would be similar kind of what Paul shared with, and I don't want to take away his thunder on that, but I've had, there was one field day, I think, we had a family show up, and the kids were just totally enthralled in, like, the whole idea about being able to go out and hunt foxes, because we had a fox hunt set up and a nice transmitter set up, from one of the club members. And they were like, "We're doing hunting foxes. Isn't that illegal?" And I'm like, no. It's radio direction finding. And so trying to explain that to them, showing them antennas and radios. And it was just like their eyes lit up when I was like handing them the radio and the antenna. I said, "Here, let's go out and try it." And, you know, and they went out like the small little caravan going out and trying it after we kind of gave them a little bit of a trial, this is what you need to do. And so I think from there, they, you know, kind of planted that same seed that you guys are all sharing. You know, with that, I mean, there's obviously some really good things that we can all talk about that, you know, what we use to share. But so let's just do the reverse real quick. What worst case scenario have you encountered or been a part of when it came to, introducing or asking or answering the question of, what's ham radio to folks? Have you had any of those moments where you just walked away going shaking your own head? What did I say?
Well, I mean, I haven't had any. Most people are very curious, and some people say, "Oh, I had my license years ago." I think my weirdest experience, or kind of, is when I was in, when I crossed over the border from Mississippi to Louisiana, and I was in a black car, and the guy thought I was an FBI agent because. I was in my car and I had the antenna outside on the tripod and I'm on the radio and he was dumping trash illegally in the state park in the dumpster and he was all paranoid. And he's like, "Are you an FBI agent?" I'm like, "No, sir." He goes, "You sure you're not? You look like FBI." I'm like, "I'm not FBI." I tell him, "Hey, I'm radio." And he goes, "Hey, I'm radio." He goes, "Don't old people do that?" And I said, "Yep. And I'm getting old. So yeah, that's what us old people do." And it was just kind of funny, but I've had people tell us, I mean, you know, they come and ask all kinds of stuff. I mean, when we were doing when Eric and I were doing the activation at Silver Lake during the eclipse, like that guy was like, "Oh, they're doing all kinds of testing." And Eric and I are like, "We're just trying to activate the park." he thought we were doing all kind of testing. And I'm like, "No, nah, we're just playing radio, not doing any kind of." Well, we had two tennis set up. Huh?
And we're measuring the sun.
Yeah. He was asking all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I haven't never had a really uncomfortable situation. It's more of like, you know, then you get the wiseass cracks about, "Oh, you're talking to aliens. You're trying to reach out." And sometimes I just go with it. I said, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm. How about you, Paul? Anything that you kind of regretted but wanted to go back and do over?
No, I haven't really had a whole lot of negative experiences with radio. You know, sometimes I fumble with my words and I find it really hard to explain like why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, like when that question comes up, it's like, "Well, why are you sitting here in a park? Like what does this matter?" You know, and it's like, "Well, I get points for the park and I get points for the state and I get credit for this." And it, you know, so it's like, "Well, how do I explain, you know, when like my own wife makes fun of it all the time?" You know. Like she's my worst critic.
I'm not alone. Yeah. Good.
Is that a guarantee being a ham radio operator unless your wife actually has her ticket that you'd normally get made fun of? It's almost like a requirement.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this though. Like, so when I was coming home from vacation, we stopped at Savannah National Wildlife Refuge and I only got to be there for about an hour, but, Kim's literally sat next to me and read a book while I was on the radio. And a few times, she'd be like, "It sounds like aliens. It sounds like aliens." And I'm like, no, those are just people that are slightly off frequency for me. Like that's why it's kind of high pitched and weird sounding. But yeah, I guess I've never really had a bad experience, but sometimes it's difficult to explain like, "Well, why am I in a park with a portable radio?"
And this long whip standing 20 feet up in the air.
Yeah. Right?
Well, I can tell you this. When people at work found out that I was doing ham radio and stuff, they were like giving me a hard time. So instead of just responding to them, I just opened up my iPad and turned on my Flex radio and blasted it on my portable speaker. I'm like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Oh, that'd be, Slovenia." Mm-hmm. "Where's that?" I'm like, "That's over in Europe. Right now, that's on your," I go, "Yeah." Like, "Oh, through the internet?" I said, "No, through my radio." I said, "It's through the internet to my house, to my radio. But yeah, that's like," he goes, "And you can talk to them?" I said, "If I want to." They're like, "Can you?" So now I got like the whole, people like staring at it. And another guy was in, I was working the overnight and he walked in to see what I was doing. And I was in the little office and I was talking to Australia. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Talking to Australia. You want to hear?" And I put the speaker on and he heard it and he's like, "Holy crap." He goes, "You weren't joking when you said you can get around the world." I said, "I know, if the bands are right, I can go anywhere." So, I mean, just trying to get the little interest in there. But I think when people, I think they like their first jump is to make fun of it that don't know. But then when you show it to them and they see it, they're all interested. Yeah, and then it's like that's where you have to kind of get to the next level. That's when I'm passing out the cards. I have to make some more up with those POTA info pages. Oh, there you go. Right. And you just hand them out and people will be like, "Oh, thanks. And you never know. You might get someone to call up or check the website out and start asking questions.
We'll get into some of those tips and tricks. I think you guys both kind of hit it on the head. I think it's much easier to demonstrate than it is per se to always try to explain your way out of something or into something for that matter. I know I can share a lot of that. Like I will try to deliver the best delivery I can to, you know, getting the people to consider, you know, what I'm trying to do and put some, you know, intelligence around it. But what it really boils down to is that just, you know, if I just took 2 seconds, said, here, come sit down, listen, and, you know, here, you touch the dial. It's okay. Yeah, go ahead. You touch the dial and just let them do the hands-on experience. It would totally, I think, quell a lot of the, you know, make fun of because I don't understand or, you know, trying to, you know, boil down something very, well, it is technical, but boil it down to a place that you can put it into small bite-sized chunks, because that's like the toughest thing, right? To be able to say, why am I using an HT to talk to someone? Am I, you know, talking to a bunch of kids down the street, you know, or am I talking on a repeater? Well, it's a repeater. And then, you know, oh, well, how can I talk to across the world? And you kind of get all of these things that you just, you know, almost get yourself into a place where you feel like, how did I get down this rabbit hole? I just wanted to tell you about ham radio. You know, why are we here? So basically, how do you guys, so let's kind of set the stereo. So if we're doing, say, a POTA, you know, we're all doing a POTA at some level or another, you know, from a total stranger walks up on you and, you know, is expressing interest, may or may not kind of, you know, done a tongue-in-cheek joke, you know, what would you recommend in essence would, you know, to getting them more interested or feeling them out? Do you have like any kind of feeler questions? Do you throw questions back at them? Or do you kind of just give them the verbal diarrhea and say, here's ham radio in 25 words or less?
You know, I look at it as I talked, you know, I'll answer their questions or whatever, but if I've been like working a park and I got a bunch of contacts, I'll show them the map of my contacts. And that's where they get really, oh, wow. Like, you know, you see like the lines going on in all different directions or where, and that gets them talking more. And then they start asking more questions. And, you know, I talked to, when you go to Silver Lake, which is, you know, that's the park that Eric and I are trying to work our kilo together at. There's a lot of older.
No, rail trail, dude. Rail trail.
Our rail trail. What was they calling Silver Lake?
Silver Lake, yeah.
Say, I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. I haven't had much sleep. The rail trail. I just watched your Silver Lake thing. That's why it was on my head. But the rail trail, there's a lot of like older people that come, they bike, they, you know, and I say older, I'm not meaning like older, but like retirees. Yep. And a lot of them, some of them were hams back in the day and they can't believe how the technology on how small everything is. And I said, yeah, it all fits in this backpack. And it goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, oh yeah, it all fits in the backpack. And I show him the, you know, all the equipment and stuff. And guys are like, oh, he goes, that's really awesome. He goes, that's great. He goes, you know, back in my day, you couldn't even go portable. You'd have to bring out huge radios and they didn't have this stuff. And I said, yeah, well, technology is getting better. And I've also told a lot of park rangers, they ask, like, oh, what do you plan on doing in here? And I'm like, ham radio. And they look at me and I explain parks on the air and they didn't even know. And then they've been to other places where I go in and the guy, I'm like, yeah, I'm here to do ham radio. Guys, oh yeah, you want to go? And he knows exactly where to go for the best spot because he's had like 30 hams there already. So I just try to be, you know, to see how it is. I just don't like it when I'm in a pile up and then someone wants to start asking me questions. Like that's what I'm wishing one of you guys are with me, yeah, to kind of deal with the guy and say, hey, but that doesn't happen too often.
All right, Paul. So I'm kind of putting a little summary here, but you know, go ahead, Paul. Tell me a little bit about what your experiences, and I'll see if we can summarize some of these to give you guys a little better, you know, things to work.
Yeah. For. Well, so the thing is, right, is there's so much to ham radio, right? If I'm at a park, you know, it's easy to explain what I'm doing as a practice in emergency communications, right? Because essentially, that's why I enjoy parks on the air, because it's a never ending practice, right? Every time you go out, it's different conditions and the environment's different. You're using everything portable. You know, but you can do digital from the field too. You know, you can get into satellites. There's just so much, you know. I think anybody that's just interested in ham radio at all as to why and what it is that we do, like, we could never give you a full explanation because it's really, it would just be a scratch of the surface. Like the whys are going to be different for everybody, I think. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point, because when I got into it, you know, I knew very, very little. You know, I knew VHF, UHF, because I was a technician, obviously, and that's all I knew. And then, you know, Eric and you guys got me more into HF and understanding. And like I said, when I went out with Craig and won FST the first time, and I saw people whip up a wire on a little mast attached to a picnic table, and then the guy's talking to Italy, that's kind of like where I was like, what? Like, you can do that? Yeah. So, and that was my interest. But, you know, you see guys like in our club, like Tim, you know, this guy is like becoming the CW machine. I mean, he's got practice groups. He's doing it all the time. He's now activating parks on CW. And I mean, that's his thing right now. And I think it's awesome, because it's one thing, like, I could, if I ever got bored, which I doubt, but if I got bored of doing parks on the air or something, there's always something more you could jump into. So it's not just the get on the air and talk to people. There's so much you can do. But one of the things that I do on my radio is, if I'm in the office, I'll scan channels. And when the International Space Station's coming by, there'll be times, sometimes you can hear the Russians. They'll be calling out. Other times you might have a school doing a contact with the astronauts. And if it's flying overhead, you can only hear the astronauts. You can't hear the kids.
Ground people. Yeah. Right.
Right. But Zach, my son likes that. He thinks that's pretty cool when the International Space Day, and then he can hear the astronauts up in space. And so I know little kids think that's kind of cool, but I think the stuff that people do with the schools, and they set it up and they get people on, or, you know, you see the Boy Scouts. Don't they do like scouts
jamboree on there
and stuff? Like, yep. Anytime I hear those, I try to work those stations just to give the kids the experience.
Okay. So let me kind of summarizer in chief here a little bit. So, you know, I guess from a standpoint, if we're dealing with people like in a POTO scenario or just in a one-on-one, you know, understanding your target, meaning how old they are, you know, are they young, they old, you know, are they the same age as you? And then, you know, taking that information and using it to be able to just frame it in a question. So, you know, to be able to say, hey, you know, do you know about ham radio? Have you heard about ham radio? That type of stuff. Or, you know, the older generation, they're going to be more in tune to radio because that was their thing. I mean, that was what cell phones and smartphones are to us today from a technology perspective. That was their technology way back then. So it was very much radio was more than just what we heard on the car. It was a way of life. People kind of sat around the radio and did all of that stuff. So they have a connection in that sense. So understanding your target's a big thing and who you're talking to. You guys all hit it on the head. Visuals are a big, big thing. Instead of trying to tell them, show them every time. If you can, you know, especially Todd, you mentioned when you're in the middle of the pileup, use it as an example. I know it's going to ruin your, you know, your overall contacts for maybe getting the park activated or being able to get that good run. But it might be a good opportunity as a learning, you know, demonstration to show somebody, hey, all of these people I'm talking to, they're all excited to come work me. I'm the, you know, what we call the distant station that they all want to get in touch with. And so that might allure somebody in, or, you know, at least definitely like you would share, Todd, with your folks where you turn on your flex from remote and you're just listening to Talking Australia or wherever. You know, that is, again, that whole like, oh, I hear somebody else somewhere else that I've never heard or been to. It kind of pulls them in that way. And then strength in numbers is a big one. Todd, you and I kind of, and all three of us at one time when we all have done POTAs, it's like, it's always easier that if someone's in the middle of working, you know, a POTA and trying to get their 10 contacts, the other person can kind of pick up the slack and you know, and draw that person in. And then, you know, once you draw them in, I've always been here's the baton and I'll do a couple of contacts and I'll work. And then, you know, they can talk to them and you just kind of keep the conversation going and make that the flow work. But it's really just inviting them into the process is that really, I think, is a big thing with making ham radio attractive. And then, heck, I should subscribe to more of this, but I don't. It's that whole KISS method. You know, let's try to keep it simple. Let's not try to, like, you know, like I said before, bring them the ARL handbook, antenna handbook, and let me get into the adjustments of the coil and how I get to SWR, and, you know, really just like drowning them in all of the stuff that we do on a day-to-day basis that we're accustomed to, and just let them, you know, not have to hear that because, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think we missed was what we're doing right now, the YouTube stuff, the podcast. I mean, there's so much information now out there. Like if people get an interest that maybe they go in and they get on YouTube and they type in ham radio and they pick up different podcasts or they see, it really can interest people.
Okay.
They start following channels, and that's another way I think is a huge way to get more and more people. And I think that has helped a lot because it really helped me, especially when I was learning about it and trying to get my ticket to be able to go on podcasts or YouTube and see what other people were doing. And there's so much out there. Even if you're brand new, there's so many like beginners, welcome to ham radio kind of stuff that,
oh yeah,
just really piques people's interest. And then it might motivate them to go and ask more questions or reach out to someone.
Totally. So, all right. So that kind of dovetails into our next part. So now that you kind of got them hooked a little bit and they're interested and you're kind of not killing them with the knowledge, but they're giving them more experience. Do you guys have anything you carry around or bring with you or keep it? I know, Todd, you sort of touched on it a little bit, but Paul, do you guys have like stuff that you can give them as a takeaway or like, point them in a direction versus just like kind of telling them verbally? Because I know for a fact, like, unless I say something three times and I give them something written down, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go off and they're never probably going to go back and look at that information that I was referencing. Or was it, hey, look up N1JUR's channel and, you know, lo and behold, they'll get home and was that N1JJR? You know, and now, yeah, we'll, you know, find the channel and stuff like that. Do you guys have any of those like handouts that you keep with you when you go out and do activations or get out and play radio?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I kind of took stuff from the POTA website and some stuff I wrote down, like with our club website. And I just made like a little, pamphlet or a piece of paper on both sides. It just has very general information, has some websites, that kind of stuff. But when they ask, it just gives a brief description of what exactly I'm doing and where to find more information about it. And I think like Eric's got the right idea where we do have that. I do have that. What is that chip card thing that I have? Like
barcode. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but no, but I have a, it's like a digital business card.
Yep.
I forget the name of the company. What is it called?
The dot.
So they can scan it. And on my dot, I have all kinds of information about ham radio myself, but then other things on there. So when they scan the phone or whatever we do, it pulls up all kinds of, just general information. Cause I think we're all ambassadors to the hobby, like to get people involved and interested in it. It starts everywhere from if you go to HM or, ham radio outlet and you're the guy helping people, getting them interested, answering questions to the people in the club. Someone comes in field day, like getting people to try it out. Parks on the air, we're in there, just everywhere you go, and not be afraid to kind of bring up your hobby. I mean, I drive around. I try to get the kids I work with to get into it. And they're, so far, I've been unsuccessful, but I'm determined before I retire that I will get one kid to become a ham radio operator.
Nice. I like that.
But cool. So there are definitely, there's just a lot of ways to do it, but I think we just got to get creative. But my favorite way is hands-on, play with my radio. You want to turn the knob? You want to go find a station? Go nuts.
I don't have anything to hand out, but I do think that it would be a good idea to have like maybe, even 5 printed sheets with, a couple QR codes and be like, here, just scan the QR code. That way it's in their phone and they have the websites and, ham study or the POTA page. I don't know, something.
A couple of different references, right? Yeah. So, okay. So I think, all of those are great. I mean, obviously I pulled, and we'll put the links in the description, the show notes. POTA's got a bunch of flyers that I think Todd, you got, I have, I've put tucked in my bag. I've probably given out a couple of them here and there, just when people asked about parks on the air specifically. And I really kind of gave it more towards the guys that were, or Gallup Bills or hams that were, had known of ham and stuff like that. So it was kind of more of a, hey, read about this if you wanted to get into it. But the one thing I did flash up early is this QR code. And if you're obviously watching this on our YouTube, you can go ahead and scan that. This is kind of something our club put together. It's just basically a quick one pager, you know, hey, everything about ham radio. So, you know, I like it because I don't have to like go into the history of ham radio, and I can do more of like what we've just been talking about. Like, hey, let's do something hands-on. Let's do some visuals. Let's get you playing, you know, around with it. And then you can go back and read that later at a different time. And so that card works out really cool because it's a, you know, the other side of the card is basically just a nice, this happens to be, I guess one of our club members that a long time ago created, or was really good with the camera and, created a nice photo of him and his dad and son at a field day that we had a long time ago, black and white. So that's good to, you know, use it, but it's, those things are really good, I think, for like after the facts. You know, it keeps that, you know, thought still kind of churning in the background, you know, with them that they did encounter that versus like, you know, 10 years down the road, all of a sudden they come back into the hobby. They're like, I had that one moment way back when I was walking through the park, and it's like, you wasted 10 years until it triggered back to get back. And it's like, let's get you in the hobby quicker. Come on. That's what we have to think about here.
Well, so. I think a lot of people, especially like people who wanted, maybe were interested in ham radio back in the old days and you had to have code to get your ticket or whatever, they don't even know that you don't have to do that. I mean, I've had a lot of people like, oh, you don't even need code. You don't have to do CD. I'm like, no. I'm like, but you can, but it's not required to get in there. Just, and then it, like, you kind of see them light up. Like, that was the one thing I couldn't do, right? And then I tell them, I said, well, there's great apps for it now. I mean, you can listen to CW all the, I'm sure if you put headphones on, you just played the app all night, you'd probably just like learn it that way.
Process, right?
Yeah, but I'm like, if I can do it, like anyone can do it. Like I literally know nothing. I knew nothing. I shouldn't say I know nothing, but I knew nothing about ham radio or anything when I started. Absolutely. I would go to these meetings and these groups, and it was like, you guys were all talking a foreign language. And I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and nod my head and whatever. But what I've learned is now that these conversations, I start to understand, I understand some of them, not all of them, but mm-hmm. some of them. And, you know, it makes sense. So, you know, and I'm a hands-on guy, so once I started getting my hands on HF radios and started going out there, it all kind of
clicked. License to learn.
So, okay, well, yeah. Bingo. That's the big thing right there, is understanding that, you know, you're going to have a whole lot more to be able to play in and do and break and reassemble and learn all over again. So, all right, well, so we've ignored the big elephant in the room, but I still think we should address it. You know, obviously meeting the public is really kind of a little nerve-wracking initially, but once you start kind of talking about it and showing and demonstrating ham radio, it kind of just makes the moment sweeter. How do we deal with the, and we touched on and alluded a little bit, the family member in ham radio, you know, any any good tips that you can suggest outside of, you know, yeah. Yeah, for those that are in our podcast, one of four fingers, Todd, you know, raised a question. So, you know, I could say that I have a few things that I could share outside of dealing, you know, with the pain of, you know, being made fun of after. But how do you guys handle that? You know, how do you deal with it with your families and relatives when it comes to talking about ham radio, and friends for that matter?
Well, so it's good that you bring it up, because I follow the subreddit amateur radio on Reddit, and somebody had posted the other day, and they were like, hey, my wife absolutely hates this hobby, and how do I get her to see that, like, there is some value to this, right?
It's valuable.
And I read through the comments, and a lot of I think the original poster's problem was that he saw the things that his wife valued as being not as valuable as she did. And so she also saw the things that he valued as not as valuable as he did. And I said, listen, I said, you know, marriage is a compromise, right? My wife 100% does not understand any of this, but she's supportive that it makes me feel like I'm learning, and I'm my brain is growing, and I'm learning a useful skill. And so as long as I'm not telling her that she can't have a vacation, you know, she's not going to tell me that I can't play radio, you know. But it's also interesting too, that to think like, I was looking through some old pictures and I saw my very first shack desk picture, right? And it was just a single UHF VHF mobile that I would put in my truck and I would take it out, right? And I would put it in on the desk. And, you know, but that was the whole thing, was budgeting and, you know, not asking my wife to let me spend, you know, $6,000, you know, cause I got to get the latest flex plus another couple grand and add-ons and extras and all the, you know. No, I worked at it slow. I bought used radios and I saved up and, you know, but just like we do for a vacation. Right. And so you just got to understand.
You buy used vacations? How can you buy a used vacation?
You put the down payment on the rental, you know, a year in advance, and then you make payments as you go. And then by the time you go, you know, your $5,000 is paid.
It doesn't feel as painful as if you have to write the check all at once.
Yeah.
So that's my suggestion. Okay. Find happy compromise.
Okay. Well, yeah. I like that one. How about you, Todd? Do you have a happy compromise?
Well, I mean, my wife doesn't. She's not involved in any of my hobbies. She doesn't like the RC planes. She doesn't like. She's not interested in ham radio. She supports it. I mean, when we started the podcast, she was like putting it on every group possible.
I know.
You know, people are like, "You have a podcast?" I'm like, "How did you know?" "Oh, it was put on the Amherst page." I'm like, "The Amherst teachers page or something." I'm like, what?
I still don't understand how we got into the crocheting, you know, family group and you have Facebook, but whatever.
But anyway, so she's very supportive, but she doesn't want anything to do with it. Because I've asked her, I said, "You want to learn how to?" Nope, no interest. She just doesn't. And it's cool. Like, I don't care. She doesn't discourage me from doing it. She actually encourages me to do it and knows that if it's something that I like to do, she's happy to support it. But don't make her do it. So I don't make her do it or ask her to do it. I've asked her to do it, but I don't force her to do it. And she lets me, you know, play radio when I need to play radio.
So the next Christmas gift is not going to be a vacuum. It'll be a Baofeng under the tree for her.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah, I know, worse than the vacuum, which is, you know.
My wife is into woodworking. So like I buy her freaking boy toys, like saws and jigs and it's like cool stuff. It's like, oh, can you go? I really want to get this thing, so I get to go to the store and check out like all the new tools. But you know, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, we do a lot of things together that we enjoy. But you know, this is just my thing, and she's got her thing, and at least she supports it. You know, so it's not like you said, it's a compromise. But she doesn't want to do it. I'm not going to force her to do it, but she doesn't mind me doing it.
Yep. So. Okay. So I think I'm in the same boat. Obviously, my wife is very similar to yours. So it has no desire whatsoever. And I know when our wives, Todd, get together from time to time, we're always
making
discussions and be making fun of. Yes, for sure.
Right.
we can't avoid it, no matter what.
Even at baseball games. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So I think my best advice, I guess, when you're trying to deal with a family or deal with your significant other, I think it's obviously just, you know, getting over that first couple of, you know, months or whatever that you're trying out the new hobby. They're going to make fun of you. You just got to kind of come to grips with it, be okay with the fact that, you know, they're going to pick up the lingo and then twist it and make it, you know, a joke out of it. They're just, you know, trying to connect with you, even though it's harsh and painful. But once a bandaid gets pulled off, you know, they finally realize that, hey, this is not going away. It's not a fad. We're not going to be, you know, giving this up next time tomorrow. They embrace it. They support us. They know that it's important. But I you know, I have a struggle, and I have some close friends who, you know I'm a ham radio operator and who I'd done a podcast a long time with, and I've known for 30 years. They still make fun of me, you know, and it's actually funny because I went to a family event today, and of course they were there, and they're like, "Hey, you're late." I'm like, "Well, no, I just came a little later." And they're like, "Why? Did you have a ham radio thing? Did they get in the way?" You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's what it was. Ham radio got in the way here." And so, you know. which is
well, you were talking to me on the way back, not the way there. You'd be like, yeah, I was talking to Todd, who's on AM radio.
I was probably talking on the way there too. And you know, I would never bring up, but it's, you know, I just have come to learn that, you know, hey, I love the hobby. And that's if you, you know, you guys share the same thing. We all love this hobby and we love the fact that it gives us that capability to do so much in it. And communication is only one small aspect of the whole entire thing that, I think we all just were like, okay, we'll get over the, you know, the little finger pointing and the little, you know, side tongue in cheek jokes to know that, you know, hey, we eventually, and the way I look at it and the way I go to sleep of putting my head on the pillow every night is that one day that emergency time will come and my radios will be there for them. And they'll be like, you know, holding me up like the Lion King and saying, oh my gosh, we're so happy. Yeah. This is all in my head, of course, but you know, helps me sleep at night. and, you know, and I still get razzed on too. I have to say, my father's a ham radio operator, my brother's a ham radio operator, and my daughter's a ham radio operator, and I still get razzed by all of them who are ham radio operators themselves. So it's, you know, it's just kind of
because you're the most, you do, it's like you're more intense than they are.
Yeah,
nerd.
My craziness is just on a new level altogether.
But this is what, when it goes bad, is like the power goes out and your shack's still lit up and everything else in the house isn't working. What? How did that happen?
Living room TV now, honey?
I'm like sitting there doing the hours out and I don't even know. It's like, what? You need to get the generator. You got to get the generator going. Why? I'm good. I got a couple hours here.
I'm talking Australia right now. I don't know who you're talking to. Oh, right. You're doing nothing in the dark. Reading that.
Oh, book. The self. Oh, your battery ran out. Your phone ran out of battery. Sorry.
Oops. Yeah. Hey, you could use my portable battery over here if you ask nicely.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I think that's you know, a kind of a good segue. So, you know, if we could wrap this up in a nutshell, you know, and just kind of deliver that message, it sounds like, and you know, you guys can throw in to this, is that, you know, experience is done when you can give people visuals and get them involved and get them engaged, and not how much you deliver a specific one line or a whole dissertation. You know, get them
short and sweet.
Yep. Get short and sweet, get them involved, you know, keep it simple, but let them experience ham radio for what it is, because that's what's going to, you know, get them more attracted to it than it is if we try to, you know, read the ARL antenna book back to them verbatim.
And don't stress about the licensing, because, you know, the licensing just gives you the privileges to continue your knowledge. That's all it is.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And in essence, don't try to say, hey, go get your ticket first, because that'll throw really like, oh yeah, sorry, I don't have time for that. You know, what are you talking about? You know,
it's a really good point. Cause before I got in the, RC flying, I went to the field that I'm a club of now. And obviously there are different guys, and I went in there and I said, hey, how do you, you got to go buy a plane and build it. Well, they didn't have like kits back then where you just go and buy a plane and take it out of the box and fly it. It's like you have to actually glue it, you know, cover it, put electronics in it. You don't know. I mean, if you've never done it, like, so I bought this plane and I never got, I just got like the thing covered and glued together. I never got any of the electronics or anything. I ended up selling. I'm like, I'm never going to get this thing done. And then 10 years later, I go down there and they're like, oh yeah, come on down. We'll take you up. We'll show you. And that was all it took. And next thing you know, I'm like, I was down there like every day if I could. And it was the same thing with ham radio. You know, I got into ham radio. I went to a club meeting, went to the barn, met Eric. Eric's like, you got to learn do POTA, get your general or I'm going to kill you. And I got my general. And that was the end of it. Now I'm getting harassed to get my extra.
Yeah,
I'm just joking. I'm not kidding.
And now we help you through the process of,
sir, here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper and I will pay it.
You heard it here. We help Todd spend his money in weird, crazy ways.
Eric and Ryan are really good at spending my money.
Yeah, you need Ryan more than myself, but you know. Hey, I have to say, I didn't get the flex first. You did. So I followed you. So there's one, you know, on me.
Right. Well, I got the flex because some of you guys said, well, if you're going to get another radio, you might as well just get the flex and put your DX10 in the go box. You didn't say that, no, but they did. And then I started thinking, and then, you know, Ryan's main thing is buy once, cry once, Todd. And it's so true, because I can tell you how many, I mean, you know how many RC transmitters I've bought? Like a ton of them. And I have the one that I should have bought at the very beginning is the one I ended up with. But I bought like five before that instead of just buying the right one. So
see, I have a YouTube channel for that. And so I just have people give me antennas so I don't have to go out and buy them any longer. It's an excuse.
Yeah, he's getting, you know, Paul, he's getting really too famous. I mean, I don't know. He might have to break off. There, come on.
Yeah, drag you guys.
Oh,
with
I love your YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, they heard. Oh, no, it's Eric's YouTube channel.
It gets lonely at the top. Come on. Come join me. I'm bored.
It's all right. I'll just bring Oscar out.
He's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Ah, there we go. Dude, I still have not gotten used to your call. I've been the N call for a long time amongst all of these W guys, and then
you guys are the only two in the club.
There's three.
Actually. Oh no, three of you. There's only three.
It's like when you guys go through that roster. I was on it last night, tonight actually. And it's just like K K K K K K K K call K call K call K. Hey, finally N. It was just like, okay, we went through 36 K calls.
I should. You know, I always do it backwards on Sunday, so the guys that are always on top have to wait till the end. So, because the list is getting. I mean. I don't know. We have to come up with a real list because it's so long. There's so I don't know who's coming on or going. And every time there's a new person on, they're on for a while. So they make the list and then they disappear. And then I don't know, you know, who do I get? If I kick them off, they'll get all offended, I guess. But
well, hey, you know, this is a good segue. We're going to have to bring on all of our NCOs and have this discussion here and then give them suggestions.
Yes, we are definitely going to have them. That's going to be one of our topics. We're going to have all the GSARA net control operators.
You heard
on
it.
on our YouTube channel discussing our net, which is, in my opinion, it's pretty amazing that it goes 7 days a week, and it's been going on for what, 3 years, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been that long? Like since COVID. And every night except when we have meetings, and now when we have the Aries net. Christmas, holidays, someone's always doing it. So it's pretty awesome.
Good stuff. All right. Well, let's kind of put a wrap to this, but it's been fun hanging out with you guys. I missed you, and it's been a blast to finally get back in front of a mic and, you know, talk about it. And it's never a dull moment, as they say. So, all right. Well, like I said, thank you guys for joining the Live Free and Ham podcast community. You know, remember, if you haven't subscribed, you know, the question goes, what have you been doing?
What do you want?
Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
There we
What's
go.
Wrong with
Much
you?
Better. Yes, exactly. What's wrong with you? That's my, if I can hit the right key there. Well, and if you have, then, you know, you can always connect us with us in a couple different ways. One, head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop and pick up some merch. Come on. By now, you need to. You know, there are many people out there in the wild that I've bumped into that I'm happy to see that are wearing Live Free and Ham. So come sport your family colors and help support the show. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please head over and do a review on iTunes. And you can support the show through Patreon, buy us a beer links, and those are all convenient located in our show notes and the website. And as always, you can reach any of our hosts here, or you can use our email and contact us via livefreeandham.com. And so with that, thank you guys again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham,
7-3.
7-3.
7-3, guys.